Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I'll analyze the case of Lucy Lee and Oliver Carafa. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Yun Lu Lee was born in 1995 in China. She went by the name Lucy. She was a fraternal triplet. Her two sisters were named Kaylin and Jane. Lucy's parents moved to Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and were later joined by Lucy and her sisters when they were 7 years old. In Canada, Lucy's father ran a driving school for Chinese immigrants. Eventually, her mother started an asset management firm and became financially successful. The business generated revenue primarily by selling insurance policies that helped reduce tax liability for people moving to Canada. The family lived in a $1.85 million house, and Lucy's mother developed extensive political connections, including hosting fundraisers for Justin Trudeau. Lucy started selling insurance too and went to college to study business. After graduating, she decided to take 2 years off and was given a $5,000 monthly allowance by her mother. Lucy used some of the money on cosmetic procedures and became active on social media. She and her two sisters posted content wearing various apparel, including swimsuits and lingerie. They were active on Instagram and a platform called TikTok. There did not seem to be a personality component involved. Rather, the trio just offered inane commentary when answering questions from followers. Not surprisingly, the social media business didn't make much money. Lucy's sisters moved on to other ventures, but Lucy stayed with it. She thought that she could make it big and be a successful social media influencer. In 2018, Lucy became romantically involved with a man named Oliver Carafa. They had dated for a short time years earlier when they were both in school. Oliver was born in Slovakia and immigrated to Canada in 2001. His parents were wealthy. They owned an industrial bakery in their home country. When they moved back to Slovakia years later, Oliver stayed in Toronto with his older sister. His lifestyle was funded by his parents, and he took a job working in a restaurant. On the night of April 2, 2012, Oliver went out to multiple bars in his Range Rover and consumed excessive quantities of alcohol. At 2 a.m., now on April 3, he indicated that he was in satisfactory condition to drive and decided to take his 24-year-old friend David Chang home. Oliver accelerated to over 60 miles per hour and slammed into a pole. The impact was so violent, David's skull was fractured and his brain landed on the pavement. He did not survive. The outcome for Oliver was very different. He was uninjured. However, he was in some legal trouble. The police determined that his blood alcohol level was about 3 times the legal limit. 2 years later, in 2014, Oliver was found guilty of impaired driving, causing death, and 3 other offenses. He was sentenced to 5 years in prison and lost his license for 15 years. Despite being denied parole on his first try, Oliver was still released early in August 2017. He started using the name Oliver Knox, perhaps to hide his criminal past. Just like Lucy, Oliver was determined to be wealthy. He started a series of businesses. For example, a restaurant, a drop shipping company, and a business that supposedly sold insulin. He also became a sales representative for a luxury travel agency and obtained a license to grow marijuana. It doesn't appear as though his businesses performed very well, but he always portrayed an image of success. The romantic relationship between Lucy and Oliver heated up quickly, with Lucy moving into Oliver's Toronto condominium after their second date. The couple married in May 2020 by using Zoom to connect with an officiant while in an airport. They did this because Lucy was restricted from flying to Europe during the COVID-19 pandemic, but Oliver was not because he was from Slovakia. Their marriage allowed Lucy to join Oliver on vacation. The pandemic led to more than just this romantic Zoom airport wedding. It was a source of inspiration for Oliver. He came up with this idea to sell personal protective equipment in Europe, even though he had no understanding of how that business worked. In the summer of 2020, Oliver met an international cocaine dealer named Tyler Pratt. Tyler was engaged to a woman named Jordan Romano, who had once been a clothing challenge dancer. Jordan earned $250,000 a year in that line of work, but gave it up because Tyler took care of her. He made a lot of money selling cocaine. Tyler had been looking for legitimate ways to invest his money and was intrigued by Oliver's new business idea. Eventually, Tyler and Jordan invested about $470,000 in Oliver's company. Running this type of business was more difficult than Oliver expected. He really didn't make a profit. Tyler became angry when he never received any returns on his investment. Oliver responded by forging financial documents to convince Tyler that the business was profitable, but this tactic was not going to keep Tyler at bay forever. In January 2021, Tyler demanded that his initial investment be returned to him, plus a little extra. Oliver promised to pay Tyler $500,000 on March 1, 2021. In reality, Oliver had no intention of paying Tyler back. Rather, he had developed a more homicidal solution. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On February 28, 2021, at 7:17 p.m., a woman named Annette was driving in Stony Creek, Ontario, with her boyfriend in the passenger seat. Stony Creek is not far from Toronto. She noticed something on the side of the road next to the Colonial Distribution Center at 347 Arvin Avenue. She turned around to investigate and discovered an injured woman. This woman was Tyler Pratt's pregnant fiancée, Jordan Romano. Jordan said to Annette, "Help me, I've been shot." The police arrived at 7:22 p.m. and found a grisly scene. 26-year-old Jordan had been shot once in the chest. 39-year-old Tyler Pratt was found dead next to the distribution center. He had been shot 5 or 6 times in the head and chest. Jordan was taken to a hospital where she survived her injuries, but she lost her unborn child. When Jordan woke up from a coma 3 days later, she told the police that Oliver Carafa shot her and that Lucy Wee was there as well. With Jordan's statement and other evidence, the police were able to piece together a theory of the crime. Here's what they think happened. Oliver owed Tyler hundreds of thousands of dollars. Tyler was a cocaine dealer, which is an occupation associated with being dangerous. Oliver was worried how Tyler would respond when he never received his money. Therefore, he decided to murder both Tyler and Jordan. Oliver contacted Tyler and told him about a warehouse they could buy for a marijuana business. Even though Tyler was upset about not getting his money from the other business, the one that was going to sell equipment in Europe, he was still interested in the marijuana business opportunity with Oliver. He agreed to meet him at the warehouse to check it out. They were to meet on the day before Oliver was supposed to pay Tyler the $500,000. Oliver purchased an Audi A5 for $18,000. In order to establish an alibi, Lucy switched SIM cards with a friend. To get out of their condominium undetected, Oliver used the stairs, where there was no video surveillance. In a bizarre move, Lucy refused to take the stairs and insisted on using the elevator, even though there was a camera in that elevator. She put on a blonde wig to disguise herself. So, in order to avoid some physical exertion, Lucy risked being identified on camera. Many offenders neglect the cardio aspect of being an efficient killer. Oliver and Lucy drove to the warehouse on Arvin Avenue. Tyler and Jordan arrived after them at 5:23 p.m. As all four individuals were awkwardly waiting, Oliver realized he had no way to get in the building. He claimed that a real estate agent was on the way, but Tyler was growing impatient and suspicious. At this point, Oliver produced a pistol chambered in 9mm Luger and pointed the weapon at Jordan, who was seated in the passenger seat of a Range Rover. He fired 3 times, striking Jordan once in the chest. Tyler responded to the shooting by saying, "What the blank, bro?" Oliver then pointed the gun at Tyler and shot him 5 or 6 times in the head and chest. Believing they had killed both Tyler and Jordan, Oliver and Lucy took their cell phones and $20,000 in cash from Tyler. They left the scene in the Audi A5 and in the Range Rover. After abandoning the Audi nearby on Green Road, the couple returned in the Range Rover. They were surprised to see that Jordan was no longer at the scene of the shooting. Oliver and Lucy drove around the area, frantically searching for her, but they gave up at 6:52 p.m. and drove away. They figured there was no way Jordan could have survived. She probably crawled away and died a few minutes later. The couple abandoned the Range Rover and took a taxi back to their condominium. A few hours later, they saw a news report indicating that Jordan had been found alive. Realizing they were in trouble because she would identify them, Oliver and Lucy immediately fled to Eastern Europe. The police believe that they were both involved in the murder, even though Oliver was the only one who pulled the trigger. They were charged with murder and attempted murder. In June 2021, Oliver and Lucy were arrested in Budapest, Hungary. Lucy did not fight extradition. She was miserable in jail, claiming they only gave her 5 slices of bread and 5 cigarettes a day. Undoubtedly, this was part of Hungary's prisoner health initiative, a carefully balanced diet of carbs and cancer. Oliver fought extradition, but was eventually returned to Canada and held without bail. In Canada, Lucy was interviewed by the authorities. She mentioned how there was not much legroom on the flight. She was not used to flying economy. As far as the shooting, which is what the authorities were interested in talking about, Lucy claimed she had no idea it was going to happen and was not involved. Lucy was released on a $2.7 million bond. It was paid for by her mother and 3 of Lucy's friends. While out on bail, Lucy violated her bail conditions by using her cell phone unsupervised, eating lunch at a restaurant with a potential Crown witness, and going to a gym in her sister's condominium complex. She was arrested on May 29 and sent back to jail to await trial. Lucy's mother, who had pledged $2 million to set Lucy free, was ordered to pay $1 million. A friend of Lucy's, who pledged $200,000, was ordered to pay $50,000. So Lucy's behavior had cost her mother and the friend $1,050,000 in total. On April 10, 2024, just over 3 years after the shooting, the trial for Oliver and Lucy started. There was no mystery about who shot Tyler and Jordan. Everyone knew it was Oliver. His defense attorneys argued that the murder and the attempted murder were not premeditated, and they asked the jury to find Oliver guilty of second-degree murder. Oliver never took the stand. Lucy's defense attorneys used a different strategy. They argued that she was not involved at all, claiming that she was not intelligent enough to be part of a criminal conspiracy. Lucy took the stand in her own defense, I guess to prove this theory. Here is a summary of her testimony. During her romantic relationship with Oliver, she ignored red flags, including how he had cheated on her. Lucy was stupid to follow him. Oliver was not allowed to have a driver's license, so Lucy frequently drove him around. On the night of the shooting, she only went to Arvin Avenue at the last minute when Oliver's other options for a driver fell through. While they were leaving their condominium, she found a blonde wig in a bag Oliver was carrying. She recognized the wig as one that she would sometimes wear during sex. She believed that Oliver had the wig because he was planning to cheat on her that night. The reason she put the wig on was to push his buttons. This is why she was captured on camera wearing the wig in the elevator. Lucy was only supposed to drop Oliver off, but then she stayed at the warehouse to see who he was meeting. She was hundreds of feet away around the corner at the back of the property searching for a lockbox when she heard the gunshots. Lucy had no idea what happened. Oliver told her that he acted in kind of a pre-planned self-defense. That is, he killed Tyler because he thought Tyler would later kill him. When they learned about the news that Jordan survived, Oliver told Lucy that they needed to leave the country because Tyler's associates would come after them. When being questioned by the Crown, Lucy claimed that she was perhaps the stupidest person in the room. On May 24, 2024, Lucy Wee and Oliver Carafa were convicted of first-degree murder. They received the same sentence, life in prison with the possibility of parole after 25 years. Now moving to my analysis. It seems pretty clear that both Oliver and Lucy were guilty of murder. Oliver was the shooter, so the case against him was pretty straightforward. Lucy can make a better case for innocence, but there were still a lot of inculpatory factors. For example, switching the SIM cards, wearing a blonde wig in the elevator, getting in Jordan's Range Rover after the shooting, and fleeing to Eastern Europe. Lucy's primary defense tactic was based on her lack of intelligence. Despite making an incredibly convincing argument in that domain, the evidence still points to her involvement in the murder conspiracy. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Lucy and Oliver had a number of negative characteristics. For example, during the trial, the judge called Lucy distinctly flawed, naive, superficial, entitled, vacuous, and irresponsible. When Oliver was denied parole for the 2012 fatal drunk driving collision, the board called him a young man with an abnormal sense of entitlement. Lucy and Oliver were determined to be wildly successful, even though they did not really have any abilities consistent with that outcome. Lucy maintained a social media presence, believing she would hit it big, and Oliver bragged that he would be a millionaire before he reached the age of 30. They were both adventurous as far as starting businesses, but they had no idea what they were doing. It was almost like their plan to be wealthy was based on being lucky. They just needed one big break, and all their dreams would come true. Despite their financial troubles, they always portrayed an image of success. There was no depth, nothing beneath the surface. They were just flashy. It was all superficial charm. This allowed them to manipulate the cocaine dealer, Tyler Pratt. He was particularly susceptible to this type of manipulation. He was also flashy and had superficial charm. Most of Tyler's money came from illegal activity, so he believed making money was easy. He was just as incompetent, unrealistic, and inept as Oliver and Lucy. Tyler truly believed that giving Oliver $470,000 would make him $3 million in a short time frame. When this didn't happen, Tyler became angry and may have threatened Oliver. On one occasion, Oliver claimed that Tyler punched him. This led to the murder conspiracy. Oliver was trying to solve his problem. Lucy went along with this because, just like Oliver, she was accustomed to taking the easy way out. She and Oliver thought of themselves as big shots. In their fantasy world, they were already high-status people. They just needed the money to go along with it, and they were not going to let some drug dealer get in the way. One thing that really stands out with Lucy is how she really didn't care about anyone else, not just Tyler, but no one at all. For instance, by violating her bail conditions, she stuck her mother with a $1 million bill and cost her friend $50,000. She was willing to betray allies and enemies alike. Now moving to my final thoughts. The lesson learned in this case is a familiar one when talking about social media influencers. Sometimes people declare themselves to be important before having any accomplishments to support that statement. They believe that high status comes from simply portraying themselves that way. As long as people believe they are rich and famous, all the other pieces will fall into place. The money will magically flow in their direction. When reality hits and they don't get their way, there are many possible reactions. Sometimes they straighten up and realize the error of their ways. But on other occasions, they go in a different direction. They will take their flawed mindset to an extreme, which could include homicide. Those are my thoughts in the case of Lucy Lee and Oliver Carafa. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon. I've noticed in many cases I've covered over the years, when a victim is not really a good person, people go through a lot of mental gymnastics to make them seem like they were a good person. Like here in the case of Tyler Pratt, he was an international cocaine dealer. He earned millions of dollars. He essentially dealt in poison. Who knows what type of damage he caused? He was not a good guy. He didn't deserve to be shot to death, but he wasn't some type of angel. Rather than trying to artificially inflate the goodness of a victim who was clearly not a good person, I think it's better just to acknowledge that murder is wrong. Murder is destructive, and any murder victim deserves some degree of compassion. They don't have to earn the compassion by being a good person. It should be automatic. That compassion should be for every victim, regardless of what they did or did not do leading up to their murder. Sometimes victims are completely innocent, sometimes they are completely guilty, but they are people either way. When a human being is murdered, that should always be a time when there is some degree of sadness, when people look at that and say, they wish that didn't happen.